Well, welcome back to Restoring Home, where we talk about marriage, parenting, and faith. And today our topic is the why of work. And we have our guest today, Ben Walkley. And Ben and Kelly are the owners of real estate businesses, and they have 6 kids. And we've just gotten to know each other pretty much over the last few months and enjoying fellowship together. So the other day we were talking over at your house about all kinds of things, and I was inquiring about your business and what you do, and so we got into that. I think guys do that sometimes. They kind of want to know what you're doing, and yeah. It's interesting to us. And as we did, I asked you, you started telling me a story.
Yep.
And I thought, when I heard this story, I thought, other people need to hear this. They need to hear the journey you've been on and where you've landed. And so that's when I invited you. I thought about inviting you, and then a few days later I said, hey, can you come do this? And you agreed to do it. So thank you.
Welcome.
So I'd like you, we've talked about that even before we sat down here today, kind of go back through and give everybody an introduction to what you do, how you got into it, the portion of it you told me the other day.
Okay. So I went to Cedarville University after high school, and I got a degree in accounting and finance. And before that, I had actually run a tree service and lawn mowing business that I started. My parents helped me. They were encouraging me to go work. So I...
They wanted you to pay your way through...
Yeah, they paid home. About half, and I paid about half of the college. And it was brutal, you know. Good. But I learned a lot of good things. So after I graduated, I thought I was going to go into, my dad was buying a storage facility that had a mulch business, and I was going to keep working outside. And well, right before I graduated, the deal fell through, and I didn't get a job as an accounting auditor or with, I had no plans. So I was kind of very upset with my dad that the deal fell apart. And so graduated. He was an attorney. His law firm had a small title company, and he said, well, you know, you could come work at the title company. And the pay was $12 an hour, and I was very upset that I was, I mean, I was making way more than that cutting down trees. Why would I, you know, go do this? So because I had a college degree, I thought, well, that's what I should do. So I did it. And the only thing I asked was... I remember at the interview with him and his business partner, I said, well, is there any way for me to own part of this business? And they said, sure. So I took the job. I said, well, there's an opportunity for me to own. I want to own my own business, so okay. So I didn't know what a title company was. I didn't know what a office was. And I take one thing. My dad had asked me right at the end of college if I wanted to buy a house, which I thought was great. And I did. I bought this house. He lent me the money. It was in Akron. And so I bought that house and then started the process. All this is kind of simultaneous of fixing this house up. And it was horrible. I mean, the people were asking $25,000 for the house, which sounds like a little bit. It was probably worth zero. I thought I was so slick for negotiating with them down to $22,000. It was disgusting. And I spent a year and a half right before I got married. I graduated in 2003. Kelly, my wife, graduated in 2004. So I spent that year fixing this house up, hiring contractors, failing, people not showing up, taking my money. I mean, it just was horrible. I mean, redoing something, redoing it. My dad, changing our mind, whatever. I just kept borrowing more money from him to fix this house. So, and I was working at the title company. And, you know, at a heart level, I had gone through church and everything else, but I didn't know God. I didn't. I had no relationship with Him. It was I had the relationship of like saying things out loud, but none. So internally, I had studied accounting and finance, money, and that's what I wanted. I was going to make lots of money. So about a year. Well, anyway, so after getting moved into this house with my wife, the neighbor, a house up the street, burned down. And the guy...
After moving into the house that you had renovated?
Yep, then one up the street burned down.
Okay.
And this is the one this is the story I told you the other day. So I wanted to buy this house and fix it up. I was still kind of naive. I had So I had some money. I had been working for a year at the title company, and mm-hmm. I had saved up that money. And this guy offered to sell the house to me for $15,000. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't understand that he had gotten a bunch of insurance money for the burn, and then he was still selling it to me for $15,000. It was a should have been torn down. Mm-hmm. I had a friend from college that had come back to this area, and we decided we were gonna fix it together. I was mm-hmm. gonna be the money. And this guy was going to do the work. Well, we would help each other, but mm-hmm. I was still working, and he didn't have regular work. So this house, you know, the rafters were burned, the foundation mm-hmm. was bad, everything was bad. So we started off fixing it, and we were trying to get deals from everywhere, cheapest materials. You know, there was holes in the foundation, and we were taking drywall mud and putting that in there.
To repair the foundation.
To repair the foundation and painting over it. We took, you know, to get paint, there was like a Ben Moore paint place. We just dumped all the paint into one bucket and mixed it up into this. The lady that ended up buying it, she was like, I love this paint. This is peanut butter brown. And we laughed about that for years. And, you know, the tiles, we didn't know really what we were doing. So we didn't put under like concrete board. We just put the tile down on the Luan, which, you know, obviously it's going to crack. There was charred rafters. We drywalled over top of those charred rafters. You know, we mm-hmm. sistered boards in and just covered it up. Mm-hmm. Never put an air conditioner. Didn't even put a new furnace in. This thing was in one of those old giant gravity. It never replaced it. And I thought we were trying to make. Our goal was to make money. Mm-hmm. So in the end, we got these people. This is back in like subprime lending was going on. They came in, wanted to buy the house. Loved the peanut butter walls. I sent them to this loan officer who I had connected with in the title company, who was doing subprime loans, mm-hmm. which are just bad loans, really. These people were not qualified to buy a loan. They needed another line of proof that they could pay their bills. So they, mm-hmm. well, we live with our mom and dad. We could make up, the loan officer said make up something that says, you know, we're paying mom and dad. I'm like, well, you know,
it sounded like a lot of patchwork went on in the whole process.
So I said, yeah, you should, that's okay, do that. Mm-hmm. So they buy the house, you know, they buy it for $92,000. I walked out of there and I remember boasting to someone, and this guy's not a believer. Oh, yeah, we made so much money on this house, really like maxed it out. Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying, his name's Marty Yates, and he said, well, I guess that's one way of doing it. Hmm. Well, I followed this. These people ended up losing the house in foreclosure, and I had such guilt. My motivation was just so wrong, but mm-hmm. I had so much guilt. Mm-hmm. Well, I decided after that I didn't want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. But nothing really had changed. I just realized, like, I didn't feel good. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to keep going that way. Well, I ended up selling my house. And this is like really like the beginning of something amazing that ended up happening in my life. We sold our house, and I had to move in with my parents-in-law. I didn't have anywhere to go at the same time, working at the title company. And this lawyer that worked there, he would get these properties from time to time. And then he would send out, you know, letters to investors and say, well, hey, you know, bid on this house. Mm-hmm. Highest bidder wins. So mm-hmm. the house was in Norton. It was a nice house, it looked like, and I needed a house. And I thought, oh, man, this is great. You know, I really want to get this. Mm-hmm. So I remember one offer came in. The offer was for $70,000. The only reason I know this is I asked the secretary to hold it up to the light and see if she could see what the offer was. She did that. Okay? So, me and my infinite wisdom, I put in a sealed bid offer of $70,100. So, the lawyer then, I mean, I work with this guy, he's my boss, right? Mm. He calls me into his office and says, Ben, did you look at this offer? And I knew I was caught. Mm-hmm. And this is a key moment in my life. I mean, mm-hmm. big moment. So glad that I was able to admit that I had mm-hmm. cheated. Mm-hmm. So he said, well, I want you to call this guy and admit this to him and tell him he wins the property. I was so embarrassed. I called him, apologizing. So that guy gets the property. Long story on that house, turned out to have foundation problems. It was a big, giant hassle for that guy. Hmm. Terrible property.
Been perfect for you. You had experience with that.
Right. For me, then I'm in a depressed state. These other two properties come along. Mm-hmm. Right, come along. There were four properties, and there was another estate. And this realtor had already been openly known to everyone. He offered $90,000 for him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just need a house. And so I went and looked at them. I knew they were available. There was one that I thought would work. I could fix it up. And I went to the lawyer and I said, would the people take $45,000 for this one house? I've got that much. Mm-hmm. They said, nope, they won't do that. You've got to buy all of them. And I thought, well, would you? I know that guy offered 90, and they said, no, would you take 100 for all four of them? They said, yes. Within a few weeks, then the lawyer said, oh, the neighbor's interested in one of those. So that the neighbor, he said he'll pay me $18,500 for one of the lots. Hmm. A friend of mine said, I'm looking for a house, the other one that I didn't want. He paid $62,000 for that one. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't turn my cell phone off. Oh, well. He pays 62, so that's 80,000 of the 100. Yeah. So now I end up with the house that I wanted for 45,000 for 20,000 plus an extra lot. Wow. Years later, somebody gave me 20,000 for that extra lot. Wow. So I got this house for free. Mm-hmm. When I went to the bank, after I had done some, I needed like 15,000 repairs. When I went to the bank, and this is all, mind you, I'm at the ripe old age of like 23 or 24. Mm-hmm. Go to the bank. And the bank says, that house is worth $120,000. I had no idea that it was worth that much money. Mm-hmm. So the bank said, well, here, we will give you a line of credit for $110,000, free to use. That, the difference between that and the other pathway was the beginning of all kind of things that happened mm-hmm. in my life. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't say that all those things were good, because mm-hmm. I then took that and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I started buying and selling mm-hmm. and restoring and kept mm-hmm. the title company going and had all kind of success mm-hmm. Financially. Mm-hmm. Got married, you know, I was married, started having kids, and then I reached last week of October 2009. And I had some business partnerships. I had left the title company. I sold the one and started mm-hmm. another and doing all kind of business things that appeared successful, or at least I thought I was, but I was dying inside. I mean, it was like rotten flesh inside of me. I was miserable. And I remember this pastor, Joe Coffey, he said, I was at Hudson Chapel, and he said, whatever you think about, whatever you talk about, whatever is the most, whatever that is, that's your God. That's the most important thing to you. Mm. And the Holy Spirit just hit me like a ton of bricks, just crushed me. Mm-hmm. And I knew for the first time, like, I was selfish, just pure selfish. So I remember last week of October 2009, I broke. I cried, broke down in the shower, crying my eyeballs out, like, didn't know which way was up. Told God I was sorry, told him I want to give all the money back. Can I just have a new life? It was an amazing moment of my life. Then that morning, there was this ministry, South Street Ministry in downtown Akron. I knew that they needed a furnace for their building. Mm-hmm. I got it on my checkbook. It was like $7,000. I'm like, I'm just gonna give the money away. Wrote that first check, drove down there, stuffed it in their building. You know, I don't know to this day. Audible, not audible, still small voice inside mm-hmm. of you. But at that moment, the next morning, 4:01 in the morning, inside of me, I don't know now. At the time, I thought it was audible, but I can't know. Mm-hmm. This is what I heard. Ben, get up. Thank you for being obedient. I'm going to show you my face today. I jumped out of bed. I was running around. I didn't know what was going on. I was like, what was that? Mm-hmm. And God... the Holy Spirit like just started to illuminate my light. Like it just, like he like wrapped me up. I was a total wreck and thought I was getting somewhere mm-hmm. from that point for a while. Mm-hmm. And the stories of God's goodness, I would run into people every, it was like divine timing everywhere. Mm. My business exploded. I took all of that as if I was doing something right. I was so proud. Mm. I was so mm-hmm. without wisdom, so just butt knowing like that mm-hmm. God was really real in my mm-hmm. life, you know, going to Africa. So many cool stories that I could tell mm-hmm. you. And then it stopped. Like, you know, my got too big for my britches, and then God kind of like, I don't know, he just let me kind of like fall down. Hmm. And my business partnership failed. I had a very successful title company. I thought I wanted to like leave business and go live under a bridge or go to Africa and serve mm-hmm. and just, you know, I didn't want to work anymore. And it was all the work to me was just about getting money. It was mm-hmm. just like, that's mm-hmm. all that matters. So it didn't change after I knew God was so mm-hmm. real. I still was like, I would say it was different, but it didn't really matter. So I split ways with that business partner. He, by the grace of God, he bought the business from me. Mm-hmm. He was able to do that. His father-in-law lent him the money. He paid me a good sum. It was amazing. The mm-hmm. fact that actually worked. I was protected, even in my frailty. Mm-hmm. So I took that money. I signed an agreement. I wouldn't do the title business anymore for 3 years. I never planned on going back to it. And I took that money and I bought an apartment complex, 72-unit mm-hmm. apartment complex. Mm-hmm. Drug-infested, nasty, flat roof, run down. And I thought in my head that I started doing the math. I was like, 72 units times 500, I'm good. All I got to do is just, I don't know, raise the rent on everybody. And like, they're going to give me the money and I can just go show God how faithful I am. You know, he's mm-hmm. just going to be so proud of me. Mm-hmm. Well, I bought that place. The guy that had sold it to me lied on how many people were actually living there. There was about half as many people living there. He'd been trying to get a mm-hmm. loan and had not told the truth. It was a money pit. Mm. Everything I had was now trapped in this beat up, rundown place. Mm-hmm. And I'm putting all my money into it. I'm losing money. Mm-hmm. I own this building, but I am paying to own this building. Terrible. Tried to sell it back to the guy that had helped me get it. He had told me if you got in trouble, you would. He said, sorry, you know, mm-hmm. I can't help you. Wow. Difficult time in my life. Yeah. In my marriage, it was very dark. Mm-hmm. And my wife is like a saint for just mm-hmm. getting through all that. So God brought some people into my life to help kind of like start the process of helping me mm-hmm. see that work was not about making money, mm-hmm. that it was about people, mm-hmm. God's people, and serving people. Mm-hmm. And money is merely a byproduct of that process of serving people. And so moving forward, we ended up, that 3 years, I was broke, flat broke after that 3 years of not, I didn't know what else to do. I tried to go sell some houses, but I didn't, my work was being a title person. That's what I knew, I was an mm-hmm. expert at. So mm-hmm. after a few years, I went back into business in the title business and started again, only this time I was going to serve God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had talked earlier and you said, you know, there was, you had, or you had, on this, when we were talking about this interview, you had said, you know, is there a bottom? Like, did you ever, like, where God, like, really showed up? Mm-hmm. And we started this title company and got all these people involved. God's hands were on it. It was like, I would pray something, like, the people would come, the money that came that we needed to do it, everything that we needed mm-hmm. was, like, just coming there. To, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, we're going to take over the world, you know, like, well, this is going to be, you know, this is it. And mind you, the apartments are still, like, not doing well. Mm. So we start this business, and we took on investors, $100,000. One of the people that came to work with us had all kind of customers. It was going to be fine. Like, with her customers, we were going to be good. Mm-hmm. We started on January 1. Of that year, 2013, no customers. Hmm. Lots of payroll, lots of rent. So our 100 or 130,000 dwindle. But I think we had two files that first month. So by March or April that year, we were writing checks. I'm writing checks off the home equity line of credit on my house to keep payroll going. I remember sitting in this room with I called a meeting. And I was like, we're going to just ask God. Because this isn't a ministry. This is a business. Like, I'm not going to do this. So I remember sitting in that room. And I said, God, we had $70 in our account. After paying, you know, I think it was $14,000 like a week or so ago to like make it. And then it was like there was $70 in there. And I remember sitting in that room with those people and I said, God, I'm not giving this business another dollar. I didn't come to do this on my own. I believe you asked me to do this. There was like a year or two earlier, I had like gotten into the shower and I just had like felt like God was like, this is, I don't want you to go to Africa. I want you to go to Akron. Like, this is what, you can speak the language. Like, I want you to go to work in this and actually be a light to the people in your industry. Like, it just was like, and then I asked him to confirm it all. He did. So there I am doing what I believe he asked me to do.
And he got $70.
I got $70 and I'm not doing it anymore. That's what I told him. I'm not doing it. I said, I'm going to start firing people on Friday in the prayer. Everybody in the company said, I'm like, God, I'm firing people on Friday. I'm not doing this. If this isn't you, I'm not doing it. Faucet turned on that day. From that day, April of 2013 till today, that business has done nothing from year to year but increase. Increase. Now, not by the amounts that I thought. I know there's other questions here, but in that process of all these things, and I could tell you 50 million stories, so I'm sorry for just talking.
This is great.
In that process, God, and I'm still learning it today, has continued to refine inside of me the purpose of my work being to serve people and to bless them and to do right by them, even when it's hard. I fail at it regularly, and He is gracious, and I stand back up and try to do it again. And today, and there's a lot of details missing, but today that 72-unit apartment building is full with a waiting list, and my business is very successful, and we have other properties that are successful, and it doesn't really matter. It's just another opportunity. It matters because it's fun, but it doesn't make my kid want to listen to me anymore than he does or does not. It doesn't make people love me more or not. It doesn't equal, it's just a thing. But back here, when I started, I thought that it was going to equal I am at peace with my life. And actually all that, because I had the wrong motivation, it just brought nothing but trouble. And and then in between those two, like there is like, that is like where he taught me this like amazing truth about how to walk through business. Like that, I learned that in that season, the last like maybe.
And that truth is?
Well, so everything about, at least for me, with work is about trusting God. So it doesn't necessarily seem intuitive that, like, you know, when God is like asking you to do something, it may not seem like the smartest thing to do. But He's asking me to do something. And a lot of times it is the smart, or it's something that I wouldn't have even thought of. But what I realized is I want to control things. And oftentimes when I do control things, or all the times, I end up picking something that's actually less than. But by not doing that, it allows God to come in and fill in the blanks. It's just the timing is His. So the thing that actually really changed for me was tithing. So the money of work is kind of a byproduct, right? It's just what you get for going to work. Some people have a job, so they get a finite amount. Some people own a business, and so like you know, the amount could really fluctuate from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started tithing, it brought my ability to, it created peacefulness. It made the problem of, is it going to be okay, God's problem.
Hmm.
Like, I'm like, I'm giving, I had read a story about Jacob, and he made a deal with God. And when I read that, it was like, he made a deal with God. I'm like, well, I can make a deal. Like, I like deals. He said, I'll give you 10%. All I want is for you to protect me.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what it says. At least the version of the Bible that I was reading at the time, mm-hmm. that's what it said. And so I made that same deal. Like, God, I want to feel protected. I want to feel at peace with my work. I want to know that you're looking out for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started this journey of tithing because I'm like, I don't want money. I just want, your best.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, we probably don't have enough time. So all these stories of how all these good things happen to me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say that it's me because I wouldn't have thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
All I am merely doing is, you know, waking up with the idea that my job is to serve the people that God and learn, you know, coming to BT or learning from pastor. You talked about that forgiveness the other day, and I mean, it was like a whole nother, I'm in the middle of it right now. I mean, I'm like learning how to do that even better. I thought I had learned. I didn't. I'm like, wow, I'm bad at this, I guess. But I'm going to work on it. And so God's like asking me to work on that and not try to control how much money I'm going to make, but to just do what's in front of me today, serve the people in front of me today, work on the spiritual lesson that I'm learning, you know, in my devotion or from a pastor or from somebody. And then, because there is a certain level of peacefulness inside of me, and it comes and goes. Sometimes I get off track, and sometimes I'm like, man, God, thank you. I can just relax in this. I feel like it's very easy or easier to see than like when something comes along. I'm like, oh, well, I wasn't expecting that and or looking for it, but oh, my gosh, like, well, sure, I'll say yes to that because it has come along in front of my life. I didn't have to go out and like grab it and take it and... Whereas back here, I was doing a lot of that, and I don't think I could tell when it was God and when it was me.
It was you. So in the beginning, your motivation was a lot to do with your ability to squeeze out a profit.
Oh, yeah.
About money.
Oh, yeah.
Through the process of being humbled, showing you that your best efforts don't always succeed, and even when they do succeed, something inside is left empty.
Yes.
Through all of that, the Lord got you to a point where you finally said, okay, I got $70. I can't do this. It's up to you. I'm not even going to try. With no more money, I'm done. Yeah. You got to take care of it. And from that point on, he started taking over and running things, and he still is.
Oh, yeah.
And you keep going, wow. I don't even know how this happens, but he's doing it. Clearly, he's doing it.
Well, it's almost like I get a choice every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get to... I mean, he keeps doing it regardless of whether I do it right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel these like almost consequences sometimes, you know, like I'll make a kind of a bad choice or and then I kind of know something's wrong or it's a bad habit but I also feel rewarded by, you know, choosing to, I mean, like I'll give you a perfect example. I just came from dealing with this situation. There was a guy, met him out of prison. This is 11 years ago. I had bought a house in Akron. I was afraid to go in Akron because I thought I was going to die. There was real estate agents. They had this house for... Oh, no, I'm sorry, I can take it back. There was a real estate agent who was having a problem, and I was trying to help him out. I wanted to get his business. I wanted him to work for me. So I said, send me his work so I could make money. So he had this problem, and I knew how to rehab houses, so I helped him fix his problem in Akron. Well, while I'm down here in Akron, this other house comes for sale from another agent that I want them to work. So in my small brainedness, I think, well, I'll just go make an offer on that house. And that, even though it's not a good offer, these agents that I'm going to make an offer on this house with, because I made an offer through them, even though it wasn't a good offer, are somehow going to want to work with me more. Basically, I was wasting their time, thinking that wasting their time was going to make them like, I don't know, it was bad thinking. So I put this offer in, $7,500 for this house. This is way back. It was, you know, Bad area. Now your offer got denied. Oh, good. Didn't want that house. 2 weeks later. Oh, hey, by the way, the bank accepted your offer for that house, $7,500.
Now you own the house.
Well, I didn't want to own the house. Yeah. I didn't want anything to do with that house. I didn't make the offer. I made the offer because I thought, well, these people are going to think I like them, and they're going to send me more work.
Yeah.
So I buy this house. By the time I closed, I got 3 offers to buy that house for double what I had paid for it. People wrote me a letter. I got walking across the street. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got something good. Well, I don't know why. This is prior to actually really knowing God. I mean, I guess I had some relationship not like post, like actually admitting I was selfish. I get a phone call from this guy. Hey, there is a guy who just got out of prison and he needs a place to stay. You got anywhere he could stay? Yeah, I guess I do. Technically, I just bought this house that I didn't want to buy, and so I say yes to this guy. And the funny part is, for so long, I thought I was helping this guy, and he was helping me in the most strangest ways. Like, so 11 years later, I just came from this guy. His life has been up and down. He ended up had a girlfriend, he had some kids. He actually named one of his kids after me. I'm like, well, what are you going to do with that? Like, I'm like, now I can't escape the fact. I can't escape you. He has gone through some troubles. He's gone. And most recently, he's in a really difficult spot. And I don't want to help him. I'm mad at him. He kind of damaged my house. And he's always paid his rent, you know. There was at one point he wasn't paying. I finally said, get out of my house. You are no longer welcome here. That was like 6 years ago, because he was always sporadic and kind of would go back onto drugs. And he cleaned up his life. He hadn't been in drugs since then, maybe 6-7 years. Paid his rent for all these years. Well, now recently, and he was going to buy the house, and he decided he didn't want to. And I go in there, and it was all messed up. His girlfriend is having a real hard time. Actually, this coronavirus, the stimulus money has. She stopped working. She got that money. Got into some bad stuff. Heartbreaking. Well, I'm mad because my house is messed up. So I'm not helping you. He's asking me for help. He wants to move to Barberton. I'm not helping. Give me some money to pay me back, and then I'll help you. Which I know that's the wrong attitude. I've been learning that recently with home church. So finally, I'm like, okay, God, you said something to me the other day. You said, what's the best thing you could do for him? Well, I know the best thing. I know what he needs. A house. He needs somebody to help him get a house. That's what I do. Okay, fine. It sounds funny to talk like that, but that's actually how it is. My phone rings. There's a house in Barberton that these people have not been able to sell for 10 years. And they've been paying the utilities and the taxes and the mortgage and all this stuff all these years. Hey, can you help us get rid of this house? He has like $23,000. They need $26,000. I mean, almost right? This guy has bad credit, criminal history. Like, he's got everything. He can't rent a place. He can't get out of my house. And I have tried to give this guy advice. He will not listen to me. And the other day, it was like still small voice. You need to take your wife with you to talk to this guy. So Kelly and I went to this house with this guy yesterday or the day before. And I'm like, and I said to him, David, here's my wife. She's going to tell you the truth. I've been telling you the whole time. I won't smack you because you won't listen to me. My wife's going to tell you. So today, this guy, he just handed me the money for this house. He handed over some money that he has been holding on to his money so tightly. And this spirit of poverty is what we're actually talking about, where there's a spirit of believing that there's a shortage is what I believe causes people to miss the point. And Kelly and I are like, and there's no fanfare. It's like, well, we're going to just pay the difference. Mostly we want to get this guy out of our house, which is, you know, the selfish reason. But for the first time, my wife is sitting there telling this guy, hey, this is, you need to do this for yourself. You need to take responsibility for your life. And he listened. And he's now going to buy a house, and his life is still super difficult. But one step in the right direction. And God is using us and the resources that he has given us. It's him. I wouldn't give it to this guy if it wasn't so freely given to me.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe I would think I would want to, but I wouldn't. I just I'd be like my old self and want to, you know, hold on to it all. And I almost can't even be mad at this guy because God has used him in the strangest backward way to teach me so much that I'm just thankful for him. And so I guess all of that to say that, like, obeying that. And I just bought a house a few days ago. They mispriced this house by $50,000. And you can only do, if you can see the difference in values, like knowing cars. I put my offer. I couldn't believe they listed it. Somebody just looked at Zillow and said, well, that's what the price is. They didn't look at the whole property. So in my head, it's like, it doesn't really, it's like God brings these opportunities. I can say yes to them. He also brings opportunities to give and serve. And it's just kind of fluid.
So you're seeing God more. You're recognizing him at work more with individuals and with even opportunities that come your way. And so when you start to go to work, and you're looking out for other people, you're trying to do something for the customer or for the other person.
Yes.
Then God starts working in your life, and you start seeing God in your work.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're partnering with him, or you're following the lead with him.
That part, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, it rings in my head. What I have to ask myself, what does this, what would I want someone to do for me if I was in their shoes? Good. And I try to... I try to do that.
Now, is that in your book, or your book about something else?
Well, my book, it's in there, but the book is about...
The emphasis is somewhere else in your material.
Yeah, the book is like, it's like both, it's like the spiritualness of real estate. I actually believe that there is a, God really actually cares about real estate. It doesn't quite say that in the book, but I mean, it kind of does actually. But some of the story is in there, but I want people to be able to make accurate decisions. And so by them understanding what they're looking at, I would want to make accurate decisions. I don't like buying cars because I feel like car salespeople are disingenuous. I don't know if that's true or not, but I can't tell. So it's very difficult. If I don't feel like I can stand on solid ground, it's hard to make a decision. I feel like real estate is like that too. There's so many moving parts. It's so difficult. And so for people to be able to either gain some knowledge or to learn how to find someone, that's in the book too, how to find someone who is actually looking out for their best interest and actually going to guide them properly, either one of those is okay. Because the home, in my opinion, is, I believe we're environmentally sensitive people. You know, you remember, if I said, Steve, go back to when you're 10 years old, it's like, you remember the house, you remember your bedroom, you remember if your dad was good, if he was alcoholic, if he was... If the marriage was good, like, it all affected and shaped you. And I think homes have a major impact on our lives. And so I really care about, like, I care about families and marriages. Like, I want them to be loving and peaceful and for children to be able to grow up in that kind of safe environment. Because I think it'll, that could change the world, you know, if people are growing up in a healthy, safe environment.
So, again, you're in, just to summarize.
Yeah.
What you're saying is why to work, why you work has changed in its people. And in that, you recognize when you put do to others, you have them do to you, you recognize God is at work. So you're getting the blessing of that. Plus, at times, you get these divine involvements, like with the fellow that you helped. And so out of that, your faith is growing and you're taking care, your family's cared for. He's given you enough to take care of yourself. I want to tell folks real quick about the book, because I know some people will want it. We're going to put a description of it. We're going to put the title and everything in the description after this video.
Okay.
But it's called Real Experiences,
Real experience.
Real experience. A tactical field guide to buying and selling a home.
Yep.
Good. So when we get ready to buy or sell, we need to be reading your book.
It'll bless you. It'll help. It will genuinely help people have their eyes open to what's happening.
Good. Well, I know a lot of men and women are out working, and some of them are doing their own businesses on the side hustle or their whole full-time what they do, even people who are employees of someone else. I think it's a right perspective to go in and say, how do I do what I'm doing so that it brings blessing to my employer or to my customer or the person, my coworkers? And that perspective, God will bless because that's His way.
Well, and I think one thing that's really important is that what I've learned at least about obeying God, you don't know what is going to happen. It might be that you're just at peace at what you're doing. It might be a financial blessing. Mm-hmm. It might be a promotion. It might be a you don't really know what is going to come. Mm-hmm. But getting to the place where you're like, I don't care because I know it's going to be good regardless of what's happening. It's such a peaceful place. Like, it really helps.
It's faith. Yeah. It's trusting that God's ways work.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Telling us this in your book. I'm sure there are a few other stories, as well as some real helpful information. People are buying and selling houses or getting into real estate.
Very much.
So I'm glad you and Kelly are doing that. And one of the books I'm just going to mention, it'll be in the link of the below the video, is one that's been recommended as well. It's about the idea of making money in general and having a right perspective on that, like you've shared this part of it, which is a big piece of it. It's called Thou Shalt Prosper by Rabbi Daniel Lapin, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but that'll also be there, and your book will be listed down there as well. So people who are interested in working in order to be prosperous, but in order to do it in the right prosperities, both their relationship with God and benefiting people, they'll then get that information there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben. I know you got lots of stories.
Yeah.
Sorry we're cutting you
short
here. No,
it's all good.
In fact, in the link, we may have an extra story down there for people who want to follow up on a more detailed of another adventure with you and the Lord in your work.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you. Okay.
Thanks.
So, until next time at Restoring Home, may God bless. Thank you.